Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Jonah Dew.
In the house! Thank you guys so much for tuning in for yet another, hopefully, fantastic episode. Today we're doing things a little bit differently. We're actually recording this on a Saturday, which is off our normal schedule, so we'll see how we can roll with all that. But because we're doing it on Saturday, we're also doing it live on YouTube. So if you want to go back and see all the exciting faces behind the microphones, go check out our YouTube live what's that called? Playlist. And you can see exactly what was going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. What have you been playing?
We've been playing lots of fun things, but I've mostly been playing them at the beach this past week.
Whoa. You guys got a little beach vacation last week.
We did. Got a little workation in. Had a client that I was meeting with and had an opportunity to stay at their adjoining home. Had a lot of fun surfing in the morning, which was pretty great.
I heard you enjoyed surfing.
I did. First time ever.
Very cool.
I feel like I was...
He's a natural.
Yeah, I feel like I was pretty good. Might have to buy a surfboard here soon.
I'd love to hear what our fans have. If they like surfing, they don't like surfing, that'd be interesting.
If they're good at it, if they imagine me being good at it. We'll post the picture so you can believe the truth. Had some fun doing that. Did some great meetings. Didn't get too many actual gameplays in while we were there. But we did get to play some fun stuff before we left. We've talked about some of those on the past episodes. I had a lot of fun this past week playing the Back to the Future game.
Back to the Future.
Well, there's two of them.
There's two, right, and I don't know which one it was.
Dice Three Times is the one we played.
Okay.
That was the one where you're actually moving through different time periods.
I thought that was pretty fantastic.
Yep, I think we rocked it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was, admittedly, either we're really good at it.
We played the advanced version. We didn't play the insane version. I think we should try the insane version sometime, which is basically going as hard as you can. Yeah. The most difficult.
Yeah, so if you want to hear like a rundown of how the game is played, we did talk about that on our previous episode, and you can get all the details on the differences between the two games, but did very much enjoy it, really enjoyed the theme. I actually do want to try the other one now because of the theme.
Okay, Melissa and I actually just recorded a comparison video between the two.
Okay.
Back to the Future.
Back to
versus
back.
Nice. Very nice.
And we talked about the pros and cons for each of them, and that will go live Thursday, July 16th.
Sweet.
So you can check that out on our YouTube channel.
Get the actual lowdown on both of them.
Jonah and Melissa and I were able to play Fort. Yep. That's from Leader Games. I believe the pre-order is happening now for that game. It's a deck-building game. What'd you think?
I liked it, actually. It was unique to me because normally in deck builders, you've got kind of a chance to build your deck and like kind of string your cards together and get like the bonuses or whatever. And in this one, you were building your deck, but at the same time, you weren't.
Because why?
You can lose your cards.
You can lose your cards.
And so it's pretty much like every time it comes to your turn, you're only going to be able to use so many. And then the rest of them just have the ability to be stolen. Mm-hmm. So it makes it.
What?
I know, right?
This sounds incredible.
It's fun.
Do you lose them forever, or like they just go back into your draw deck?
They can be stolen, like
decks.
So if I've got 10 cards in my hand, on my turn
I draw five. Yeah.
Or you're right. If I have 10 cards in my deck,
yep.
On my turn I draw five. Maybe I use three of them because of how the gameplay is,
and
the two that I didn't use have to go in front of me and like the.
Yard.
The yard. And on your turn, when you go to draft a card, like, you know how you can buy one from the... You can draft my cards that are in the yard.
Interesting. So, all right.
You can,
so there's this communal... The fort theme is very kid. Like, you're building forts. You're getting pizza and toys. So it has that sort of yards, parks, all those that terminology
in
the
friends.
Game.
You're getting friends into your deck. Yeah. So basically...
You're stealing people's friends.
Like, convince Jonah's friends to come over to my fort.
Real serious there.
This is really funny.
But you can't ever steal... They're best friends.
That's right. You start because they're best friends forever.
Stick with you.
Yes, you do have a couple of best friends that you start with. It is hilarious because you have your best friends.
That's pretty great.
And you're trying to build your fort up. You're trying to get points by, you know, comboing the cards. The other cool mechanic in fort is the follow mechanic.
Yep.
Yeah. So basically, on your turn, you can play one card, and some of those cards can be influenced, enhanced by other cards in the same suit. Now, the suits are like skateboards and glue and water guns and those sort of things. So I play a skateboard card that lets me get the number of toys based on the number of skateboards. So if I have two other skateboard cards in my hand, I put them there and I can get three toys. Now, everyone else, if they have a skateboard card in their hand, can play that card and take the top action of the card I've played. Most cards also have a private action that the person whose turn it is can do that. No one can follow that. So that's one way to get cards out of your hand on other players' turns so you don't have to put them in the yard to have a chance to be stolen.
Cool.
Because, you know, it is very interesting.
Oh, yes.
I can only play this one action card. I can maybe enhance it. Everything else I'm trying to play on other people's turns.
Yep.
I think it's interesting because I play this multiple times now, and for a few of the games, getting to the fort first basically ends the, or getting to the highest level fort ends the game, and that happened multiple times. We just played recently where the deck of friends ran out, and that's another end game trigger. I've never had that happen before. But there's other cards that let you like really go through the deck. And I was not expecting that because I was like, I'm just going to build my fort up and win the game. Oh, wait! The deck of friends is out!
And then whoever has the highest at that point wins.
Whoever has the most points, basically, at that point wins. So
interesting. Who is it? Who publishes it?
It's Leader Games. They,
Oh, okay.
The artwork is going to be very similar to like Root.
So wait, is that what you played live? What did you play live on Facebook yesterday?
We played Glenmore 2 Chronicles.
Glenmore, oh,
yes.
Okay.
You can check that out.
I only peeked at it for a moment, and it looked like it had wooden root like meeples.
Was those are just little like your clan meeples for Glenmore 2.
Sorry,
they have kilts on.
Nice.
They were stickers we had to apply.
Oh, even better.
Melissa and I also played a game, actually multiple games, 24 games.
What?
Of My City.
Oh, wow.
From Cosmos. This is a legacy tile laying game. Legacy.
Is that, so 24 is the entire thing?
24 is the entire
thing.
Way to
go.
It's eight chapters with three games in each chapter. So, and each game is about 30 minutes long. So you can get through like a chapter and basically an hour and a half, which is basically like one big game.
You just dedicated 24 hours to this game. Love it. You should have just done a marathon right then and there.
24 divided by 2, 12 hours.
Oh, divided by 12?
Divided by 2, because 30 minutes a game.
I thought you said it
game.
Took an hour. Okay, sorry.
30 minutes a game. So.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
And this is one of the Spiel des Jahres nominees. Yeah. So we did want to try to play it to have, now that we've played all of the Spiel and the Kenner Spiel.
You can
games.
Confidently announce the winner?
I can confidently announce who I think will win each category.
And Kevin actually just did a video about that.
So tune in Monday on our YouTube channel, and I go through the Spiel and the Kenner Spiel, all six games, and I tell you which one I think will win each category.
I'm just going to say that I think I should go to the beach and surf every week if Kevin is going to get this much accomplished while I'm away.
Well, Melissa's been taking some time off work, so it's actually been very helpful.
Okay,
and I don't know
cool.
if she likes it or not.
I know. It's like, wow, I'm doing a lot more work right now. Maybe I shouldn't. Like,
so here's the thing about My City.
Editing.
Going back to My City real quick is we played a two-player game. It goes up to four players, so we could hand it off to Will and Sarah. Mm. If you guys really are interested in it, you could play another two-player game
campaign
because we didn't play the other two players. You could actually go through the campaign twice with two times, but if you play three or four, you can't because you're using all the stickers and stuff like that.
Lots of stickers. You're not really destroying anything, but you're placing stickers on your board, you're writing on it, you're filling things in.
Yep.
So it is a one-time campaign, but the game also has the eternal game. So there's two sides to each player board, and one side is for the campaign, and the other side is to just play it like a normal game.
Which we've also played. So we've actually played more than 24 games. Just to try it out, to see what it's like. And I will say, love the Legacy game a lot more than just the Eternal game. It's got some of the same things going on, but I just feel like knowing what you can accomplish in the Legacy game, the Eternal game's okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed the changes from chapter to chapter. They were, you were opening envelopes and potentially revealing new components, mm-hmm. definitely new rules and scoring opportunities. So it was a, you know, aspect of thinking on your feet and how do I adjust my strategy now to deal with this new aspect of the game during the Legacy.
Cool. Makes sense.
All right. Let's move into a shout out to our episode sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Roll Camera, the filmmaking board game. It's on Kickstarter right now. This is for 1 to 4 players, and it's a cooperative or solo dice worker placement game with some resource management and a central geometric puzzle. And the theme is that you are a shooting crew making a movie or TV show, and you are using all of those different resources to bring it all together: director, producer, cinematographer, editor, production designer,
or
the star. And that is Roll Camera, the filmmaking board game.
All right, we're going to move into our board game news segment. Today in the news, we have 3 items to talk about.
In our breaking news segment, Stonemaier Games has announced their one big game for the year, and that is Pendulum. It is a turnless worker placement game that uses sand timers. Now, we are going to be doing a playthrough of this on Thursday night.
Live.
A live playthrough, and the date for that is?
July 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
And then we'll also have a review video coming out a few weeks later. Both of these videos will be before the pre-order window for the game, which is happening at the beginning of August.
In current events, Pandemic Legacy Season 0...
Is it happening in real life?
Yes. Oh, no. Actually, this happened already. In real life.
In January, right?
No. this game is set in the early 1900s, so it may have been a previous pandemic.
Hmm.
So check out Pandemic Legacy Season 0 from Z-Man Games. They have a trailer you can check out to get some content.
And our last news item is in technology. Niantic announced a new augmented reality game. You might have heard about this, like little trailers or teasers. This new augmented reality game is Catan World Explorers. So you're familiar with Pokemon Go.
Yes.
And you're familiar with the Harry Potter augmented reality. This one is...
You had me at Pokemon Go.
Okay.
And lost us at...
Catan. Yeah. Catan.
Is anyone still playing Harry Potter? Let us know. Give it a shout out.
What is that? Wizards Unite?
It did look cool. I played it like for a week.
I tried Wizards Unite. It was, I still have it downloaded, but I haven't played it in a while. This one is going to be basically the same, massive, the multiplayer augmented reality. You're transforming the entire Earth into one giant game of Catan. So
it sounds interesting. I'll give it a shot.
I don't know. You know what I would like to see for an augmented reality game? Is Ticket to Ride. I think that would be cool.
Where you actually have to travel.
Right, you have to travel to get to the new
create
places
routes.
And create routes and stuff like that. I think you could do that. I don't know, like, how are you going to trade? How are you going to collect wood and sheep? Right. And
the beauty of the Pokemon thing is, like, just endless collecting of unique things. There's only, like, 5 resources in Catan. I don't know what you're...
I got more wood! Yeah, so excited! Oh, wait, another tree! I can't believe it!
Oh, I can't build my thing there because you put a road there.
Right. Yeah. The robber. I do think the robber could be interesting.
That would be fun. And now, let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption. Sarah, start us off.
Kickstarter conniption!
So this episode, we're talking about 5 games coming to Kickstarter the week of July 13th, 2020. One coming this week is Dollars to Donuts. This is from Crafty Games, and this is a designer team of Molly Johnson, Robert Melvin, and Sean Stankwich, and art is from Dylan Mangini. And this is a tile puzzle game. You are in a donut shop collecting, buying donuts.
Donuts?
You'll spend your money to buy what's available up on the board, and you'll add that tile to your own player board.
But wait for it.
The fun thing is, you do not have to place the tile completely on your board. They can hang off the edge.
Isn't that dumbly, like, mind-blowing?
I know.
We still live within our boxes.
I know. We, like, confine ourselves to this little box.
The weird liberation of, like, I can place it here? Really?
Yes.
So what's the purpose of the board, then?
It's to trigger the end game.
Oh, okay. So, like, so it fills up or something?
Yes. Oh, once the game ends, like, once somebody fills their whole board. Now, you don't get to score donuts that you match up. So the tiles have donut halves on them. And if you match a donut completely, like the chocolate side with the chocolate side, then you'll gain a victory point token. If you mismatch them, you will gain money that you can then later spend.
Just like in a real
game. I know, I was like, how is that thematic? I'm trying to pull that thematic in there.
But
maybe you sell the donut.
Or, yeah, sure.
It's more expensive for a donut.
I mean, I kind of remember this Brian Regan bit of the donuts with half sprinkles. So that's kind of what happens in the game. And you can then use your donuts that you've completed for victory points to fulfill customer orders that will gain you more points. There's some set collection with that, and you just keep playing until somebody has completely filled in their board.
You don't actually score anything that falls off the board, so while you can lay the tiles however you want to, it gives you a lot of freedom. You don't, if the donuts are hanging off the edge, you don't actually score them. So,
that's important news.
Exactly.
Yes, otherwise you just hang everything off the edge in it. Yeah. So anyway, this is Dollars to Donuts, coming from Crafty Games. Will and I have a preview video if you'd like to see a little more of the game in play.
It's tasty.
It is tasty. Melissa.
On July 14th, Grail Games is bringing Whale Riders to Kickstarter. This is for 2 to 6 players. It's designed by Reiner Knizia. And the artist, Kevin, is Vincent Dutre.
I know, Vincent Dutre, my favorite.
So it's really whimsical looking. You have people riding these whales. One of them's a narwhal.
It's pretty cool.
Very colorful, interesting art in it. And basically, you are taking your actions to move down this board to collect tiles. It's a set collection game. Mm-hmm. You also have cards in your hand that show specific combinations of resource tiles that you need to play in order to get points. Some of the tiles are points themselves. Pearls are points in this game. And it's has a little bit of a race aspect to it. Some people like to go fast because you go down the board and then back up to the board.
I think that I find that interesting in the game. It's not like you're going back up and down the coastline. You're basically traveling down the coastline all the way to the bottom and then traveling back up one time. And you got to collect all your resources before you get to the end.
Right, because the final space, once you get back up to the top, has some point tiles with several pearls on them. So you spend, once you're up the top, all you do on your turns is spend money that hopefully you've collected to buy those points. But other people who haven't come all the way up can be still getting tiles down along the coast to try to fulfill cards.
Yeah, so, I don't think I mentioned that. The fulfilling of objectives you can do throughout the whole game. So you are spending your tiles you're collecting throughout the game. So.
To get points and money. And as the game goes on, the tiles become more expensive because you'll start drawing tiles that clog up the row of resources on each space. So
tell me about components. Are they actual pearls? Are they
no?
Cardboard?
They're just tiles. They're just tiles with pearl pictures on them.
And we had a prototype that we played with. Yeah. That is Whale Riders, coming July 14th from Grail Games. And Kevin has a preview video of this, so you can see the components and the beautiful art.
On July 14th, that'll go live. Smirk and Laughter is launching The Night Cage. And this is a 1 to 5 player game. And this is where players are trying to escape a maze that changes when the light vanishes.
What?
Every player is a prisoner in the game in this grid-based board.
And it's cooperative, correct?
This is a cooperative game. Everyone basically is holding a candle and you can see the tiles adjacent to you. You start moving, the tiles behind you that you can't see anymore, basically that you're not adjacent to anymore, disappear from the board. And if you go back, you're drawing new tiles. So the actual board is changing. The tiles are changing.
I like it.
It's so interesting.
I'm scared already.
I know. There are some monsters that you will pull. They're basically tiles in the stack that you're going to be pulling. You don't want to interact with those guys. They are bad. You could fall through pits because some of the floor is cracked. So if you stay in a space too long, you're going to fall through the pit, come back on the board somewhere else. The object of the game is for all players to find a key, which are basically tiles that are randomly shuffled into the stack of tiles. Finding a key, everyone's got to find their own key. Everyone's got to get to one of the gates. They all have to arrive at one of the gates at the same time.
The same gate,
they have to all congregate there. They don't have to get there at the same time, but they have to eventually all get there. And they all have to turn their key in unison to escape the Night Cage.
This sounds like a good movie. They should definitely, this could be a movie potential. Let's think
about
that.
This is really interesting to me because Smirk and Laughter is a imprint of Smirk and Dagger games. And to me, this feels like a Smirk and Dagger, but because it's co-op, you're all working together.
That's why determining. Wow.
But I think they should call it like Smirk and Evil Laughter or something like that. So that is The Night Cage coming from Smirk and Laughter on July 14th. Jonah.
Yeah, on July 15th, coming to Kickstarter, is Werewolf of River's End. And this is published by Games with Teeth, which I think is the coolest name to date.
To date.
Games with Teeth. Anyway, nice. It's designed by Michael Langford, and the artist is Anthea Wright. It is a hidden movement deduction adventure game. So one player is playing as the werewolf that is injured, trying to escape the townsfolk. And it says the townsfolk get to set the board and where the werewolf can and can't go within reason and within the rules. And then as the werewolf moves, of course, keeping its movement hidden, it's scaring people and it's leaving bloody bandages because it's injured. And the townspeople are trying to search for it. They can leave poison or food down for the werewolf. They can set areas of the board on fire, which sounds crazy. And it's just their job to track down and kill the werewolf. Traps and sabotage and stuff like that. So, hidden movement game coming from Games with Teeth, and that is launching on Kickstarter on July 15th. Will
is looking at, just referred to myself in the third person, The Shivers. Which is, let me read the small print on this because it's a cool name, a pop-up tabletop mystery adventure.
What? Cool.
It's a pop-up book game, which I love the concept of. The art for it looks incredible. It's from designer Andy Logan, and it's illustrated by William Tiller. It's for 2 to 4 players. It's basically an escape room. It's a horror, murder, mystery, puzzle game. Takes about an hour to play each round, which is cool. I think they're maybe targeting it for, entry-level, younger players. They definitely admit that it's like a family-friendly game, so that's good, since it's a horror game. Maybe it's not too horrible.
Maybe it's more mystery.
Mystery. Let's go with that. But it's basically role-playing, storytelling. Each scenario takes about an hour. There is some tile placement in the game as well, which I don't know how that could work, but that sounds super interesting. And really, the fantastic thing is the art. You definitely need to check this out, take a look at it, The Shivers, because the pop-up pages look incredible. Each one is its own little world, which is pretty awesome. You'll play it kind of like an escape room, and man, it just looks super cool. So I want to actually touch this and feel it and see how it pops up because it looks amazing. The Shivers. Sarah, do you want to?
She did it.
Are we done? You already did it.
Donuts.
You're so fast.
You kind of jumped in on my segment too, but that's okay. Because you have played it.
That's good. We have an interview and we want to welcome our house guest, and he's going to be talking about Ascension Tactics, the deck building miniatures game. Let's welcome him to the house.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Yeah, so Justin, tell me a little bit about yourself and Stoneblade Entertainment.
Sure, yeah. Stoneblade Entertainment, we were founded about 10 years ago, actually, with the launch of the deck-building game Ascension. Our 10th anniversary is actually right about now. Our actual date will be in August. We sold our first copy at Gen Con 2010. My own background, I used to be a professional Magic player, played my way through college doing that, won the U.S. National Championships back when I was 17, little kiddo, and I've tried to take that love and passion for card games and, you know, in the products that we make. So we do things like Ascension and Shards of Infinity, and now the upcoming Ascension Tactics.
Yeah, so 10th anniversary here. This is a great time to launch your new Kickstarter campaign for Ascension Tactics, the miniatures deck building game. Tell me, what was the inspiration? I know Ascension's sort of the guts of the game, but tell me, what's the inspiration to do this game?
Yeah, it's a great question because, you know, it would have been easy to just do another version of Ascension. And inside the Kickstarter, we're selling things like as an add-on. You can get the 10th anniversary with all remastered art and updated cards and everything. But we want to do something really special. And I am a huge, in addition to being a big passionate card game player, which I already talked about, I've also been a really passionate miniatures game player my whole life. I used to play Warhammer 40K, HeroClix, HeroScape. And I actually, before I started my company, I designed the World of Warcraft miniatures game. And I loved that process of building a tactical, strategic miniatures game. And there's just something so cool about, like, having miniatures on the board and battling each other. There's just no replication for that. You know, cards are cool and all, but that's really awesome. And so for the 10th anniversary, we're like, all right, you know what? Can we do this? Can we make this happen? Because, you know, back when Ascension came out, we were one of the first deck building games to hit the market at all. And we were the first one to do the ever-changing center row where the cards change every time you buy them and there's new stuff all the time as a break from, you know, Dominion, which had all fixed cards at the start of the game. And so that was really an innovation. Sorry?
No, I was agreeing with you. Yeah, I like that part of the game.
Yeah, and so back then that was a big innovation. But now, I mean, you know, frankly, there's a million deck builders and a lot of them have taken that innovation. And it's now just like part of the normal thing that's going on. And so what I think has the opportunity that presents itself now is deck building is a building block of other games. And by being able to take that building block and combine it with tactical miniatures games, we were able to make something that's completely new. And so that was exciting to me. I was able to combine my two passions together. I also love the idea of being able to bring all of our iconic characters to life in 3D. We have all these beautiful sculpted miniatures and all these amazing cool like things that were like the character that was on the very first box that I sold in the, you know, 10 years ago is now like a cool 3D sculpt. And we have all of those characters coming to life and tons of cool stuff. And so just the visceral fun of it, the being able to build and face a new design challenge and being able to combine the two loves and passions of my gaming life was really the big motivators behind this for celebrating the 10th anniversary of Ascension.
So the Kickstarter is live right now. And when will it be completed?
It ends on August 6th. So August 5th, 2010 was the date the very first copy of Ascension was sold. And so we wanted to have that be a full day of the last full day of the campaign. So it's going to end the day after that. So we were plenty of time as of the recording of this. And we, you know, yeah, we funded in less than 3 hours. So it's amazing. I'm too enthusiastic, but I'm like so excited because you never know until you actually launch it. And now we're unlocking stretch goals and we're going to be able to throw in a bunch of extra minis. And the game is not just, you know, first of all, anybody that wants to check out the game can play it right now. We have a free version available on Tabletop Simulator. We have a Discord server where people are playing. We even have a print and play version. So you can kind of see the innovation in the gameplay yourself right away. And then we're going to continue to, you know, make that better as we go forward. We have not just a player versus player mode, which is more sort of classic Ascension, right, where you're battling against each other, but we have solo and cooperative modes. I just showed off on our Stoneblade YouTube page, and we'll have a bunch more stuff on about how you can play that and how we have a scheme deck and boss and villain champions that you battle against. And we're working on a campaign where you'll go from scenario to scenario. The game will actually come with a bunch of mobile terrain pieces and a bunch of scenarios in a book, so you can build your own scenarios or follow along with the ones we created. I really try to pour everything into this game to make it a game that you could just play, you know, thousands of times and still find new stuff. So, and the Kickstarter is what makes that possible. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, definitely. You can see just not only the excitement of everyone surrounding this game, but you can sort of see
what people are interested in and stuff like that. So that's great, especially from people commenting and stuff like that on the campaign page. I was just looking at the stretch goals and how you're sort of doing that. You sort of show a couple things, sort of like teasers. And right now you have unlocked a couple, like you said, new miniatures and new cards. Are there things that new kinds of stretch goals? Like what are some of the things that people can expect?
Yeah. So in addition to unlocking miniatures and unlocking bonus cards, we have goals to unlock extra components and upgraded components. So we have a lot of, and a lot of these goals are not just about money. We wanted to make sure there was stuff that like people can do social sharing and other things. And we're actually going to be talking about a faction competition tomorrow, or if you have a favorite faction in Ascension, you know, we have the Void and the Lifebound, the Makana, and then you can promote your faction and earn like extra cool unlocks for your faction, including like cool stickers and extra, you know, bonus scenario campaigns that focus on your faction and stuff like that. And that's one of the best pieces that we have available is, you know, not just sort of upgrading the components, adding more stuff into the box, but adding a bunch more play. Like the fun of scenario design is that with you know, just another page in the rule book functionally, right? But we can show you a whole new way to play. And so we have things that are like capture the flag kind of scenarios and, you know, escort type scenarios and all these different ways to play and change up the board that just, it's so funny because, again, I'm very convinced, and you can try out for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. You can try it out for yourself on Tabletop Simulator or in the print and play. I think the basic scenario with just the huge variety of miniatures and the huge variety of cards in the center deck, you could play limitless number of times and not get bored because there's so many different ways to different permutations that can come up. But with now adding scenarios and all the variety of that on top of it, it makes it just, I mean, there's the scope of it is pretty crazy, which is why it took us over 2 years just to build this thing. If I just made a regular Ascension set, you know, it takes me a couple months at this point. I've been doing so many of them. So new modes of play, new scenarios, I think is one of the more exciting things that we get to unlock. And one of the things I'm hoping is that with the tools, because we actually also put the tools into Tabletop Simulator, you've got a bunch of terrain pieces and a blank board to play with. You can make your own scenario right now and share them with us. And the best ones we'll include in the game.
No way. That is just really cool to hear. I encourage people to go check that out online so that people can sort of see if this is the game for them. They may have already played Ascension. They're not sure. You know, maybe some of our listeners don't know if they're into the tactical things like with miniatures, which, you know, which we've been talking about. But this is a great opportunity for people just to try out and say, hey, yeah, this is fun. And I just looking here on the Kickstarter campaign page, you're getting all of this for $99, which is pretty impressive with what is included because, I mean, not only are you talking about just the game itself, but all the different miniatures that are included in them. It's pretty amazing. And all the just the unique sculpts. Wow. These are beautiful. Tell me a little bit more about behind the scenes on the sculpting and just that process.
Yeah, so, you know, it's one of those things that we worked with a variety of really, really talented artists and sculptors. And, you know, because we started working on the game 2 years ago, and then it was about 18 months ago, we found the, I'm sorry, it was longer than that, because it was actually at 2 years ago at Comic-Con when I first started talking to some of these different sculptors, and we started testing out the process and saying, okay, can we do this? Can we find the right people that can really bring our characters to life? And I remember it was the Arha Templar that was our first character. That was, again, the guy that was on the cover of the first box, and we had that sculptor produce that piece for us. And once I saw it, I was like, okay, yeah, we can actually do this. Like, we can really make this thing happen. And it's just beautiful piece after beautiful piece after beautiful piece. And we've got, you know, obviously I've got a bunch more that we've digitally sculpted, but we can't afford to make, including some giant badass figures that are so cool. And there's no chance I can afford to put them in a box unless we like really do well, but we're on our track to do that. So it's to me, like I don't have the same like objection to a bunch of other people that, you know, if somebody wants to just do Kickstarter as a pre-sale, like, okay, that's fine. Like a lot of big companies are doing that. But this is the pure Kickstarter experience because we could not have made this game without support. It's just, it's very expensive. And the amount of support we get will directly impact how great this game is. And not only that, but players have been involved already in helping make the game better. Like, we launched the Tabletop Simulator version about 2 weeks 2.5 weeks before the campaign started, and people started jumping in. We have over 1,000 people in our Discord right now, and they've been giving us feedback, and we've been taking that feedback in. We've updated cards, we've clarified some rules, we've tweaked some things, and so it's this great collaborative experience that is really fun, man. I mean, again, I'm gonna get a little bit nostalgic here, but you know, there was no way I would have dreamed that I would be making Ascension 10 years later, and that we would be able to do something at this scale. Like, so many people, so many fans from all around the world, I mean, millions of players of the app, and people that have just come up, and you know, we have people that have gotten married and engaged over Games of Ascension. We have people who've gotten tattoos of Ascension characters. We've got, you know, all of these things that have been a part of people's lives, and now to be able to sort of make this as a celebration of our fans and really trying to contribute something new to the community, and it's really been an amazing experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to hear these memories, and it's neat to sort of hear the behind the scenes for, you know, our listeners to hear that, to hear from sort of like how it started to where it is today. Before we say goodbye, is there anything else about the campaign that you'd like to share? And we'll tell a little bit more about where people can go in just a second.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of surprises coming in store. So for those of you that are Ascension fans, we have a bunch of cool add-ons and things that are sort of, again, sort of celebrating the game. We have stuff that's available right now, including the 10th anniversary edition of the base game, which is all remastered art and updated cards. The Year 6 Collector's Edition, which is all the content we released in Year 6 with foils and promos and all that stuff. And we have new things that are going to be added in each week. So we want to keep people excited, and including some really cool stuff like you wouldn't expect, like, I'm not supposed to spoil it, we're working on a plushie. We're working on like a lot of really cute, cool things that we've always wanted to do. And we're just going to kind of be using this as our chance to put it out there. So that sort of stuff is there. And if you're, you know, interested at all in how the game plays, you're interested in any questions, I'm making myself as available as possible, not just on podcasts like this, but we're going to be doing Twitch streams regularly on our Twitch channel. We are, you know, I'm actively responding to the comments in the Discord and on the campaign page. So if you want to be a part of something, and I don't know when this actually is going to go live.
On July, Monday, July 10th or 11th, I forget exactly what
day. Okay, yeah. So who knows where we're going to be? That's, you know, even just 3 days from now, how many more cool things we're going to be able to unlock. So by the time this goes live, I think we will. Then I can talk about our. We're doing our big monster reveal on that day. We haven't shown off any of how monsters get represented in the game. And there's this cool mechanic and some cool minis that come with that. And those we're just kind of keeping hidden for the fun of it. So those will be revealed probably around the time this goes live. So that's another whole different mechanic that builds in. And I guess I haven't, if it's okay, I'm just going to take a second because I didn't really explain how the game works at all. I've just said, hey, go play it. But if I'll just give a talk.
No, that's fine. Give a quick overview. Go for it.
So if anybody's familiar with Ascension, a lot of it's going to be a lot of this will be familiar, right? You start with the same starting deck of cards with, you know, 8 Apprentice, 2 Militia. You use Apprentice to get runes to buy new cards from the center row. There's still a 6-card center row. And so that part is all the same, and you're acquiring cards for your deck. But where it changes is at the beginning of the game, either scenario-based, you get assigned 4 miniatures that you have in front of you, or you can draft them. Which is my favorite way to play because you can, you know, there's all that extra strategy and I know that and I just love drafting. And then when you use power in Ascension, you use power, which is the secondary game resource, to kill monsters and earn honor. But in this version, you use power to command your miniatures. So the more powerful miniatures have a higher command cost, that you need more power to get them to do what you want them to do and move around the board. And so that's how we balance all the different miniatures. So you can have all giant monster miniatures on your side if you want, but that means you're going to have to really focus on getting a lot of power into your deck. And how you build your deck controls and influences the miniature. So constructs in Ascension normally would just sit on the board and do something. Now they attach to your miniature and can improve its stats or its speed or give it all kinds of other cool powers like slay, kill triggers, and whatnot. And then you have cards in your hand that can boost them or provide defense and all those different things that then influence the board. And you win the game by controlling territory on the board and killing your opponent's miniatures and then a bunch of scenario-based rules. So I really try to distill everything down to its essence and have that real integration and back and forth between the two ideas of a deck builder and a tactical miniatures game. So again, all the details of it you can see for yourself, but I just wanted to like give a feeling of how that integration works because, you know, nobody's ever done it like this before. And so, you know, the hope is that we're really pioneering a new genre once again.
Yeah, that sounds really, really cool. I'm definitely interested. I know Will on our team was able to play a prototype of this at Gamma before everything got shut down.
He said he really, really enjoyed it.
So go. If you're listening to this, check out Ascension Tactics, the deck building miniatures game on Kickstarter right now until the beginning of August. They've already funded. They've already unlocking stretch goals. Justin, tell us where they can find out more information about Stoneblade Entertainment and other games that you have to offer.
Yeah, great. I recommend check out stoneblade.com. We have an email list. The email list gets early access to everything, behind the scenes stuff. That's how they got to find out and download the game and play it before everybody else. So you can check all of that out there. I also have a perfect free podcast for anybody that wants to go real deep dive behind the scenes called Think Like a Game Designer, where I interview tons of the best designers in the industry, like Eric Lang, Richard Garfield, Mike Selinker, and I distill the principles behind design and how it all works. So anybody that's like a super geeked out about board games, you can go there as well. We're just, you know, any of the different ways you want to connect with us, I'm sure there'll be a bunch of links in the show notes here. But, you know, for now, check out the Kickstarter page. We'll be there and updating daily with cool new stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Justin, for being on the show. And already, congratulations on success and wish you all the best.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you having me here.
Bye. It was great talking to Justin about all the cool things with Ascension. I'm really looking forward to seeing the game produced.
Yeah, I am too. I got a chance to play this at Gamma. Very slick. Really loved how streamlined the rules were and how meaty the gameplay was at the same time. I think, are we doing a preview video? Is that coming out?
We may be doing a video because the some other content creators are still working on theirs.
So if they send it to us in time, right. You guys will get a chance to try it out. I really enjoyed it. It's definitely like Ryan's type of game. Like there's the area control mini part of it, but it's also got the deck building, which his brain is all on both of those. So I want to try it out with him so he can probably beat me at it. And hopefully it'll be fun for everyone. Speaking of fun for everyone, was that a good tie-in?
Sure, go for it.
Sure. We'll be opening up late pledges on GameFound from our Tantrum House Season 7 Kickstarter campaign.
To the world?
To the world.
What?
And free worldwide shipping
on
our promos.
So people can go to GameFound.com and just search Tantrum House and they'll find us?
Yes, you can.
And when
on
is
Monday.
That?
Or you can go on to Monday. Our Kickstarter campaign, see what's available, and click the link there as well.
Oh,
both
cool.
ways.
Yeah, we'll try to put links everywhere, social media and stuff. But we
like an update.
Right. Oh. We should definitely put together one of those before Monday. So yeah, when this goes live, please go check it out. We've got a bunch of promo cards still available from a number of publishers. Maybe not all of them, but the vast majority we still have some copies of. We do have a couple like t-shirts and other awesome things that we had during our campaign that if you missed it, which I appreciate. A lot of people have reached out and said, oh, I'm so sorry I missed your campaign. Is there, you know, anything I can do to get in, support you guys, and get some cool swag? And yes, the answer is now yes. So check our website, check Facebook, check all the places. We will have the majority, a lot of pieces still available, and we'd love for you guys to be able to get your hands on that good stuff. I think if you're watching this live, we're going to do something fun, so go check out the live. But one of the cool gadgets that we were able to purchase as a result of you guys' generous support was a brand new computer, which I'm pretty excited about.
So Will can do more work.
That's right.
That's the purpose.
More work, here it comes. So yeah, we were able to buy some new equipment. We got Studio J set up with a new lens for the camera. We were trying to shoot their videos with a 100mm lens. It was exciting.
Wow.
So fun. Doing that now with a better lens, better equipment. New light. We were also able to get another computer, which would be great for trying to render. We've been trying. Our cameras are capable of shooting in 4K. Our computers are not as capable of rendering and exporting all that data. So we're hoping to be able to up our game on presentation value. And we thank backers for
our Back to the Future game is uploaded in 4K now.
What? Technology. Yep. Look at all those bits in detail. Cool. I think that pretty much wraps up our episode. That was quick. I'm getting cut off. The music's coming. Thank you guys so much for joining us. See you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's Barry, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.